Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Friday, September 30th, 2016. With me today, John Martellaro. How's it going, John?
Oh my God. It's October minus one. Or October zeroth.
October zeroth,
yes.
You and your nonlinear time.
No, that's very linear. It's just different directions.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, and that was Dave Hamilton with his incredible observation on how time flows for John. And Dave, how are you?
I am with time flowing forward today faster than most days feel like.
Yeah, that's the gravitational pull. It does that. Yeah. And
Jeff is technically right, because a change in gravitational field strength affects the flow of time. So your general relativity was spot on, Jeff.
Thank you. And John, I knew if anyone would be able to clarify my statement, it was going to be you.
But that's only because, John, you believe that time is a constant. And given gravity, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, good.
Strength of the gravitational field affects the flow of time.
I think there's other factors that affect the flow of time, too.
Yeah, that's how hard you work me. It makes the day seem like, so fast.
That's right. I think our perception actually affects the flow of time. It's it's not the other way around.
Huh.
Anybody who's seen the movie Interstellar knows exactly what we're talking about.
That's right. Yes.
And without going down a rabbit hole, I'm just going to say, I really didn't like that movie. It's very, very disappointing for me.
Oh,
we can talk about that later, because what I want to talk about right now is in a broader sense, this whole thing with lightning headphone adapters that are starting to crop up, at least as pre-production things for the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus. And the most recent, Brian Chaffin posted a cool stuff found, so I'll make sure there's a link in the show notes, for a product called IlDock. So IlDock. And it's
is that short for ill-conceived?
Well played, John. They're saying it stands for iPhone Lightning Dock.
That's what they think.
So it's this product that gives you a headphone jack and a lightning port, and then it plugs into your iPhone. And they have another version that has like an SD card slot and stuff, a USB on it. And the concept on one hand is kind of neat, because you can get a whole bunch of ports and just add them to your iPhone. The design itself, I'm not so sure about. This looks like something that I would just break off after about 20 minutes of having one, and then I'd have a lightning connector stuck inside my port.
Yeah,
it looks
depends.
Cool when it's sitting on the table, because the table supports it, but when it's not being supported, it maybe isn't so cool.
It depends on how long. I mean, it's sort of, it's, you know, hard talking about pictures, but it's just like a little rectangular block with a lightning port sticking out the end of it. Not a lightning port, a lightning connector sticking off the end of it. And but when you look at it, there's a flange around the base of that lightning connector that might keep that thing. It depends on how deep the lightning connector goes into the device, but that might keep it from snapping off. I mean, those are pretty thick metal connectors, but I get what you're saying. I mean, it feels dangerous to me. They may have tested this more than we think. I think it might bend faster than it would break. And then you just take it out and then you're done. But, you know, seeing this kind of makes me stop and think, how many people actually need this sort of device? I get that a lot of people want it, especially people that are not just using the iPhone 7 as their first iPhone, right? For people that have used iPhones or any kind of smartphone that has had a headphone jack, I get that there's like, oh, I lost control, you know, and I
you think you need it.
You think you need it. Well, because you've had the option before, and now you don't have the option of charging and listening to music on wired headphones simultaneously. And there are times where that's actually important. And I would say airplane rides are the big one for me, because I want to, you know, charge up my phone so that it's charged before I land. And, you know, there you go. But I don't know. I know there are some people that will need this and truly need it to you know, make their iPhone life work the right way for them. But I don't think most of us do.
I have been living with my iPhone 7 for 2 weeks now, and I have not had a problem in that regard. I started a phone call with 100% charge to a friend the other day, and we talked for an hour on my iPhone. And when we were done, the battery was at 100%. No doubt, thanks to the A10 Fusion low power.
Wow. System.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. And I've been listening to my iPhone 7 with wired headphones and the little adapter jack. And I've never even come close to needing to worry about getting it charged at the same time.
Yeah.
I still haven't even taken the lightning to headphone adapter jack out of the box.
No, I haven't either. And the only problem with that is I have a headset, a wired headset that I've used here in my office with various phones for a decade or more. It's not the same wired headset, but I keep buying the same brand. It's this Plantronics one that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to make a call the other day, you know, after I got my iPhone 7, and realized, oh, yeah, you don't have that adapter here. That's over in the box at the house. So you're going to need to just, you know, I had to just put the phone to my ear for the phone call. And that was fine. And then I decided, well, you know, I do have another Plantronics headset. I have their 5200 Bluetooth headset. And now I keep that thing in my office. And this thing's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic because... Mm-hmm. It senses when it's on my ear. So like when the phone rings, I just grab the headset out of the little charging base and put it on my ear and the call answers.
By the way, Dave, the adapter belongs to the headphones, not to the iPhone.
That's interesting. Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, and you know, and then I look back at a device like the IlDock, which is certainly the name is ill-conceived. I don't know about the device, but I'm questioning it, right? Because what kind of audio quality are we going to get out of this, right? I mean, that's the big problem with Bluetooth, is the audio quality absolutely sucks. And Apple has made it even worse because they won't use aptX on the iPhones for Bluetooth, which is a much higher quality, yet still lossless, or, sorry, still lossy codec. But they don't use that on the iPhone. They use it on their Macs, not on the phones. We don't know why. I've talked to the aptX folks. They begged me to tell everyone that I possibly can at Apple that they should use aptX on the iPhone, but they don't. aptX for anybody that wants to research. So what that means is when you plug in, you're using, in theory, it's not being compressed. It's lossless audio. But what kind of digital to audio converter, DAC, is inside this IlDock? Is it actually going to be better than Bluetooth, or is it going to be crap? Did they source some awful DAC? And I don't know. That's the question. And it's like their website's not entirely clear on any of this. In fact, they don't even talk about it. But I guarantee there's a DAC in there because there's a DAC in that little adapter we just talked about. And so they're definitely not using the onboard DAC. Apple's not sending analog audio over lightning ports, which it could. But they're not. And they're not doing it for their own adapter because the iFixit teardown shows that there's a DAC inside of the of that little cable. And so if Apple's not using it, I can't imagine anybody else is going to be.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's weird. I don't know.
Now, the thing that I'm wondering about is how many people are going to buy products like this and then end up not really using them?
Good question.
Like back when the iMac came out, everyone bought floppy drives, and there was a subset of people that needed them, but for everyone else, they just collected dust.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's part of that business about you think you need it, but you really ought to spend a month with your phone and figure out whether it's you really need it because of the circumstances you're in.
Right.
You know, as a emotional reaction to what Apple did.
That's exactly the advice that I've been giving people over the past couple of years when they buy a new Mac laptop and it doesn't have an optical drive. The first thing they want to do is drop another $80 on Apple's external USB optical drive, SuperDrive. And I tell them, don't. Just wait and use your computer for a few weeks. And if you find that over and over you need to have that adapter, then that drive, then you just go get it then. But if you buy it and it's going to collect dust because you don't really need it, well, don't waste the $80. And John, I think that's great advice that you brought up here too. Maybe wait and see if you really need to have an adapter. And I know for some people it'll be, yes, absolutely, right off the chute, they have to have an adapter. But I think for many other people, they'll find that it's okay to go without it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I had to adapt, but it's not. And so there was a different adapter. The adapter was me, not the little piece of hardware. Yeah, I don't think you need it. I mean, I don't need it. Whether somebody else does or not, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Just whatever you do, don't drill a hole in your phone.
Oh, geez. I can't believe that someone actually popped that out there. It's a joke, but I'm really worried. I'm going to run into someone, and they're going to show me their phone, and there'll be a hole drilled in the bottom. And they'll be like, did I drill it in the wrong place? Yeah, you drilled it in your phone.
Yeah. Yeah, you drilled it in your phone. That was the wrong place. That's right.
Sounds like that Stephen Colbert thing where he was going to jam the 3.5 millimeter jack of his headphones into the lightning port and force it in with a hammer and see what happens.
What could possibly go wrong?
Right.
Yeah. So anyhow, yes, there's a meme out there that if you drill a hole on the bottom of your iPhone, you'll expose the headphone jack. There's no headphone jack in the iPhone 7, people. Don't do it. Yeah. Hey, Dave, we kind of need to do a bit of a follow-up today.
Okay.
So we had talked about airport base stations and Wi-Fi base stations in general. And
yesterday.
Right? Yeah, this is just yesterday.
Yep.
And we talked about how Apple makes good hardware, but the software is lacking, and that you have started using or have been using Wi-Fi hardware from other companies so that you get the high quality that you want and the control over the hardware that you want as well.
Yeah, it's and not everybody's going to want control over the hardware. What you do want is hardware that's going to perform for today's higher speed connections. And Apple doesn't do it specifically, and I mentioned this yesterday, I'm talking about QoS, managing your connection in a way that you actually get decent throughput regardless of what other people on your network are doing, or perhaps in spite of what other people on your network are doing. And Apple's routers just don't do that. So I highly recommend no one buy an airport router and everyone buy a third-party router.
But
we had some pushback.
We did. So there was a little bit of a back and forth on Twitter. And Twitter follower, Harry Canary. Hi, Harry. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Harry.
Harry says that he refuses to buy a router that has more prickles than a cactus. And what he's referring to specifically are these Wi-Fi routers that have all these antennas just sticking up off of them everywhere.
Absolutely. I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they look like some weird sci-fi bad guy prop or set piece. And yeah, I totally get that. They look ugly.
They do. And some people like that, right? I mean, Netgear's Nighthawk series of routers, which is, I think, what he shared a picture of, one of those, looks crazy. And again, for some geeks, that's actually kind of cool. There is a liability beyond the aesthetic of having external antennas, because then users can actually ruin their Wi-Fi experience by angling the antennas incorrectly. Manufacturers that want to continue to ship routers with big antennas, external antennas, are, like, I saw D-Link the other night at Pepcom, and their newer routers have some of them have external antennas, but don't allow the user to really put them anywhere other than where they're supposed to be. But what D-Link also has is routers that don't have any external antennas and look more like just something that you might have in your living room, because they also know that people are going to want that. And Netgear, you know, they make the Nighthawk series, but they also make other routers that don't have external antennas for exactly this reason. There's often not much of a difference between a properly configured router with an external antenna and one with an internal antenna in terms of range. So you don't need that. If you don't want it, I don't recommend you buy it. But you can get a Netgear and D-Link router that have QoS built into them, that have very nice user interfaces, very simple if you want it simple, and then more advanced if you want more advanced. But they can look quite nice. And in fact, the new Netgear Orbi, it's a little large for a router, in my opinion, although it's not nearly as big as some of the Nighthawk ones, so maybe that's not a problem. But it has no external antennas. It looks like something you might just have in your kitchen. Very, very plain, very Apple-like appearance, and that will build you wireless mesh. So it's doing something that Apple hasn't even begun to do, and will get you coverage in lots of places. And the Eero, which was the first product to market with consumer-focused wireless mesh, that looks just like an Apple product. I mean, it's got that same aesthetic. It's a little, I call it a white, you know, puck. It's kind of like a white Apple TV-sized device. And
you mean that ugly black brick?
Well, this is white, so it's nicer, John. I don't know. It's not ugly. I really like the black brick of the Apple TV. The white Eero also looks great, and it looks very unassuming, because it's just this very subtle thing that you just leave in the corner, and it's great. So, but it, you know, and then that also does wireless mesh. The Ubiquiti, who has been making consumer or enterprise grade Wi-Fi for a long time, came out with their Amplify series, which is geared towards consumers, and it's a 3-piece mesh system. The two mesh, not all of them look the same. With the Orbi and the Eero, they all look the same. The main router, and then the I'll call them the extensions, even though that's not really the right term. But with the Amplify, the extensions are a little weird. They do have an antenna, but it's just one big block antenna, and they're built just to plug straight into the wall. They're not meant to be put on the counter or anything, but the base station for the Amplify is meant to be put on the counter, and it kind of looks like it's a little cube. It looks like an alarm clock. It has a face on it with a digital touchscreen, you know, an LED touchscreen, and you can see the time if you want. You can also see your bandwidth. You can see how many devices are connected, and it's very, very elegant. So there's lots of, there are people very sensitive to the fact that you want a router that looks good in your home, in addition to just Apple. Apple's routers look great, and like I said, their hardware is great all the way around. It's just the software is very, very limited, and there's no way to replace Apple's software with third-party software that could do more.
Which is unfortunate.
It is. It is. Yeah. So I'm with you, Harry. Find a router that looks the way you want it to look, but you can get a good 802.11 AC router that looks not like a router and still get decent software in it, probably for less than what you'd pay Apple.
All right. Well, you've rattled off some really nice options, Dave.
Thanks.
So it looks like I have quite a few products that I need to make sure in today's show notes so people can go check them out.
I'll help you with links.
Thank you. Sure. All right. Well, we're out of time, so we need to wrap up. Dave, thanks so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. And as always, thank you for your feedback, because I love that we get to have this conversation with each other. Thanks for being here. We'll see everyone next week.